We are doing things a little differently in this 9:30 hour in the month of January, spending a little more time singing in this hour. We'll have a study for a few moments, and then we'll have two more songs in our assembly this hour. We are focusing on 1 Corinthians 13 and at verse 13, which Paul wraps up this great chapter on love with the verse, "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." In the context, the Apostle Paul is talking about the gifts that God has given to the church. And the church in Corinth, they were enamored with the spiritual gifts, miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the gift of tongues, so much so it was contributing to the division of the church there. And Paul is writing and telling them, teaching them about their misuse of these gifts, but telling them that there are more important gifts that God has given to the church, more lasting gifts. These miraculous gifts are temporary. There are lasting gifts. They are better gifts, greater gifts, and those are the gifts of faith, hope, and love. Last week, we talked about how faith is a gift that God has given us that serves as our foundation. Everything that we do as individual Christians and everything we do collectively as a church is built on our faith. So today we're going to consider hope. And we're going to consider just how it is that hope is a gift that God has given us and how it is that hope helps us. What do we get from hope? Let's start by identifying or defining hope. In my Webster's English Dictionary, it says that hope is desire accompanied by expectation. Really, you have to have both of these in order to have hope. You have to have that desire for something, that anticipation for something, but there also has to be that expectation, that realization that you are going to get it. Without either one, you really don't have hope. For instance, desire, if I desire something that I don't have any expectation of receiving, that is not hope. That could be called a wish. It didn't take me very long as I was growing up to learn that there was a budget that was connected with Christmas. And I could fill out my Christmas list, but I realized I could put some things on there if I wanted to, but I really had no reason to expect that I would get them. That would be a wish. Or it could be that I fully expect to get something that I do not want. If I misbehaved out in public, I knew what I was going to get when I got back home. Oh, I expected it, but I didn't desire it. That's called dread. But when you have both, when you have a desire for something and you have that full expectation to get it, that is hope. And that's a precious thing. It's a great blessing, and it is an incredible gift that God has given us through the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter writes and says that we have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is a gift that God has given us. What I want to consider for just a few moments, I want us to consider the practical purpose that hope serves in our life. How is it that hope is a gift that God has given us? That is, how is it that this gift sustains us, helps us collectively as a church? And I think more importantly, in this consideration, individually as Christians, what role should hope play in our lives? How should it help us? First, in the book of 1 John chapter 3, we'll see that hope makes our lives pure. 1 John chapter 3, and let's look at verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The Apostle John writes and says, "For what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Our hope as children of God is that we're going to see Jesus one day. We're going to see him. He's going to be revealed from heaven, not to come and to pour out wrath on us, but to receive us as his own and to bring us to the Father. That is our hope. And part of that hope is that whatever state Jesus is in, we're going to be in that same state as well. We don't fully understand that. That's not been completely revealed yet. That's something that we anticipate, something we look forward to learning more about and experiencing, and we have a hope in that. But because we have a hope in one day experiencing that and receiving that, we do something now. We purify ourselves. We keep ourselves prepared and qualified so that we can experience that one day. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Not everyone's going to be brought before the presence of the Lord. And yes, we understand that the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from our sins, but at the same time, the scriptures teach that we as Christians are responsible for keeping ourselves pure. Think about this. If Jesus died on the cross so that we could be purified from our sins, and he comes back to receive us to find that we've jumped right back into the mud hole of sin, he's not going to claim us. That's going to disappoint the Lord. And so we have a responsibility to keep ourselves pure. Think about this. An athlete who hopes to compete in the games is going to keep himself in shape. It's not uncommon, you know, as you're watching football season is progressing, wrapping up. It's not uncommon that players are called in off the practice squads, and they end up starting. They end up playing in the games. And at the beginning of the season, they were drafted. They went out. They showed up for camp. They tried out. They did their best. They didn't make the cut. So what did they do? Well, they didn't go home and veg out and get out of shape. No, they stayed in shape. Why? Because they had a hope that there would be an opening and they would get called up to play. And now we're seeing some of those guys play. A politician that hopes to hold office is going to keep himself, herself qualified. An employee that has a dream job is going to keep themselves qualified for that dream job when the opening comes one day. I think we understand how this works. Well, let's apply the same thing to our spiritual lives. We have a confident expectation of heaven one day. We need to live in such a way that we remain qualified for that. And that's where our hope comes in. We have a hope of seeing the Lord one day. Let's keep ourselves pure and ready for that great day to come. There's something else that hope does for us. Hope keeps us patient, because it's not easy to wait for that. It's not easy to wait for that day to come when the Lord is going to call us up. Just like an athlete might be called up from the minor leagues to the major league, and they wait a long time for that. Well, it's not easy to wait, and so we need patience. Hope helps us with that. In Romans at chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? I want to pause right there just a minute. Do you realize that when we get to heaven, there won't be any hope? When we get to heaven, there won't be any hope, because we will be there. We'll finally get what we're hoping for. And so hope will come to an end one day. But until then, we hold to it as a cherished gift. Now verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. The word perseverance, some translations say patience. This is that Greek word hupomone, which means to bear under. To bear under these things. If we had no hope, if we had no hope of things being better than what this life has to offer, why in the world would we ever deny ourselves? of what this world has to offer. Why in the world would we even begin to patiently endure whatever persecution and suffering we have to go through to get there? But we do have hope. We do have hope that it's going to be better. We do have hope that there's something better than what this world has to offer. And so we deny ourselves. And so we submit ourselves to enduring persecution, and we endure it patiently. Why? Because we know what is out there is real. We know it's worth suffering for. We know it's worth denying ourselves for. Hope gives us patience. And then finally, we can't talk about hope without talking about an anchor. Our hope is the anchor of our soul. In the book of Hebrews at chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, and as we're reading this, I want us to be in the mind frame of what the writer is doing and what he's addressing in this letter. Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians who have said that's enough. They've had enough with the gospel. They've had enough of Christianity because they're suffering for it, and they're ready to let go of Christianity and go back to Judaism. And so the Hebrew writer is addressing this serious situation with a number of arguments that he makes throughout this great letter. Look at what he says here in chapter 6. We're in Hebrews 6, verses 17 through 19. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have, notice this, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. The writer here pictures these Christians as having fled for refuge from this dying world and from this old religious system that does not save, and they have laid hold of the hope that God has set before them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was this hope? This is a hope of real salvation from their sins. It's a hope of victory over the world. It's a hope of acceptance before God. It's a hope of eternal rest with Him in heaven. God has thrown them a lifeline. They have fled for refuge and grasped that lifeline. They'd better not let it go. They'd better hold on to it. The writer says that this hope is an anchor of the soul. We don't have to be sailors to understand what an anchor is for. An anchor keeps a boat in place. It keeps a boat from drifting, especially during times of strong winds and storm. And those times come in our lives. The parable of the sower teaches us that things don't go smoothly after we receive the word of God. With that rocky soil, the sun came up, the sun representing tribulations, they come. That thorny soil, the cares of the world come in. These things happen, and they distract us from the word. Those storms of life, they're going to come, they're going to beat upon us, and they're going to test our faith. And our hope in the promise of God is what sustains us during these storms. Because while we have a hold of one end of that lifeline, our hope, you know who's holding the other. It's that hope that enters in the presence behind the veil. God has a hold of the other end, and He's not letting go. So we'd better not let go. I was thinking about this as I was looking at this point regarding hope. We don't have to know how to navigate our way through the storms of life. We don't have to know how to maneuver our way through the problems of life. One gift that God has given us is this. We don't have to learn how to maneuver and how to work our way through, how to navigate through the problems of life. God says, just hang on and you'll get through. Just hang on and you'll get through. You know, there are times in our lives when people are going through problems and we go to sit with them and to talk with them, and the only thing that we can tell them is just hang on. And we know that because we've been through times in our lives where the only thing that we knew to do was just hold on. That's that gift of hope that God has given us. Where would we be without it? Yes, the greatest gifts are faith, hope, and love. Our hope, that is desire accompanied by expectation, builds on the foundation of our faith by motivating us to remain pure, to persevere, to be patient, and to be steadfast while awaiting our home in heaven. Brethren, let's hold tight to our hope and never let it go. We're going to sing two more songs, and then we'll be dismissed to our Bible classes.